There's always a third alternative, my friend. Always. You take almost any situation where you think there's either two alternatives, two ways. Yours and the right one. Really. I predict, if you'll start working with the win-win philosophy, you'll come up with another alternative that will satisfy you both. That's synergy. But that takes a lot of self-restraint, a lot of patience, a lot of seeking to understand and seeking to be understood. The key question is this. Is this an interdependent reality? Is it the nature of the reality where the results you want depend upon you and others cooperating? If so, what? Win-win. If it's an independent reality, then what? You can go for win-lose. Then you tap both motivations. See, I wouldn't want two of you working in this sales office to compete with each other when you could help each other. But what if we could get this office to compete with this office in your own company in another city? You don't need to cooperate together. Now you've tapped the power of competition in people, which is deeply inbred in them from all this cultural conditioning, plus the power of cooperation or synergy, so that you're strong on closing, he's strong on prospecting. Then you can compete with this. But to try to set up a contest between people in your own office, people that you should cooperate with, you can see how utterly dysfunctional that is. Or let me illustrate. This was a very large real estate operation. About 4 years ago, I was invited to present some ideas along this line at a large rally. A rally, you know, is a real psych-up, entertainment, frenzied affair where half the time is spent in some form of cheerleading. Well, it was exciting. About 800 people were there, and only about 20 of them received the top awards for the greatest progression, you know, the more sales, et cetera, et cetera. It was in real estate. Most listings, greatest volume, earned commissions, you know, and there was a lot of applause for them, and they received the awards and the trips and so forth. 20 out of 800. We moved to a win-win incentive system, which meant this, that everyone who met a particular standard would receive these awards. And the individual groups helped to develop the standard and the award that they felt really good about. 1 year later, there were about 1,000 by that time, instead of 800. 800 of them received the awards. You didn't have to have a lot of fanfare, a lot of cheerleading, a lot of artificial psych-up. There was so much natural interest, they wanted everybody to take the trip to Bermuda. Let's work to help this person. Let's go together. Families got to know each other, like each other. Now the question is, really, how high was their performance? The 800 were equal or above the 20 the year previous. The power of synergy. Synergy is the release of enormous human effort and energy when two people cooperate together and share with each other, so that you can make one person's weaknesses compensated for by the strength of another. Let's examine the nature of the whole win-win philosophy. This is not just some little technique. It's not just a nice little phrase, win-win or no deal. Basically, if I were to put it in two words, I would say the abundance mentality. That's the character of a win-win person. Abundance basically means that person's paradigm of life is there's plenty out there to spare and for everybody. The scarcity mentality, on the other hand, is that there's only so much. Abundance mentality thinks many, many options, many alternatives. Let's open up the world of creativity. How many have had an experience, let's say, in an athletic team where you could just feel that the spirit of the team subordinated personal interests and people put the team ahead? Have you had that experience? See, that's a win-win feeling. Or with a supplier, where you really got involved with that supplier, or a distributor, or an employee, and you just did whatever's necessary to hammer out a win-win thing, or you saw someone else do that, that becomes a mentor to you, a model that you can look at. They may not adopt you as a mentee, but at least they can be a model. It's very important when you study win-win to look for models. Otherwise, a lot of people say, it's been my experience, sounds good, just not practical. Just doesn't work out. It's the only one that works, my friend, seriously, long-term, the only one that works long-term. Look for models. They're everywhere. I remember one time with a company that asked me if I would help them train people in skills of human interaction and sales and so forth. And I said, I'd be happy to do so, but are you sure that's the problem? See, the assumption was the problem was within the people. And their answer was, yeah, we think that's where it is. I said, what's your data? They said, test it for yourself. Go in any store you want, see how they treat you. They're just order takers. They don't understand the sales process of how to understand the prospect, how to discern the real need, how to understand the product, and to bring a marriage between the product and the need. Could you just help us understand that? Go in, and I did. And they were right. You could see it clearly. Still didn't answer the question, what caused that attitude? What caused that feeling? They said, well, we're convinced that we're on top of this problem. We just want you to provide some training. I said, do you have any more evidence? They said, yeah. The department heads are the best salespeople. And that's what we want them to be. We want them to be good models. We define their job as about 2/3 to 3/4 sales and 1/3 to 1/4 management. And so we've got the best models, but the people won't cooperate. As soon as I heard that, I knew the red flag. The problem is in a system, I'll bet. So we went out and I said, well, let's just continue to do some more gathering of data. They didn't like that. They said, oh, come on, Stephen, let's get with it. Let's do the training. Well, within a short period of time, I mean, just like that, almost within a day, we found out what the problem was. It was called creaming. The department heads would stand behind the cash register and cream all the business during the slow times. And half the time in retail is slow. The other half is frenetic, see? But half of it's slow. So what does the manager do? Gives all the dirty jobs, inventory control and stock work and cleaning and so forth, to the people. And he stands behind and creams. That's why he was the number one salesperson, see? Creaming. And everyone agreed on it. So, by changing one system, it corrected the problem almost overnight. What do you think we did? Well, what kind of a system do you have? It's a win-lose commission system. They lose, he wins. This department head. What could you do? To set up a win-win compensation system. The manager only makes money when they make money. So we overlap their needs and goals with his needs and goals. Win-win. Overnight. Now, did they want training then? They were open, anxious for it. Totally different attitude toward it. The problem lay in the system, not the people. You put good people in bad systems, you get bad results. I mean, it's ludicrous, isn't it, when you think about it? See what I mean by systems? Systems govern. Now, people set up systems, so in the last analysis, people govern. But they need to look at systems. You know, I have a friend who was having dinner with, and all of us were served lemon meringue pie. His daughter wasn't served lemon meringue pie. It's a beautiful pie. She was sitting there smiling. I turned to him and said, Cecil, doesn't she like lemon meringue pie? He said, it's her favorite. She has none, and just look how happy she is. Grandma's law. What's that? If you don't clean your plate, you don't get dessert, and she hates vegetables more than she likes lemon meringue pie. Who chose that consequence? She did. Even that is win-win.